YouTube. What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can. In the situation.
Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what somebody else say, but what does the word of God say? And I ask if you take everything that you hear me say or somebody else say on this program, and you check it out with the word of God. Because if I, anyone, try to put something on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scriptures, well, just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome this morning to the Situation Room. It is indeed a plumb pleasure to have you this morning in the Situation Room. After all, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. We're excited and delighted to have you this morning in the Situation Room. We hope and pray that things are going well for you and your family in your neck of the woods. This morning we have a wonderful program for you today. It's the day that we focus in on our hot topic. And today our hot topic, it's a hot one too now. Are you ready for it? Now, if you are standing, you may want to be seated, particularly if you are a lady. This morning we got a hot topic, and this one is, are women permitted to speak in the church? Are women permitted to speak in the church? You know, a lot of what you are seeing happening today, you see a lot of women that are preaching today in the church. You see a lot of them are pastoring today in the church. Well, a lot of people say that women should not be preaching in the church, and they base that on that scripture over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that talks about women should keep silent in the church. But we have a Bible teacher today, and he's going to expound on that. Matter of fact, he has done one of the best Bible interpretation of that scripture that I know of. And so I want you to get close to your radio and listen today. Listen. Listen with not only your ears, but listen with an open heart as you hear this young man. He's gonna, Alan Parr, he's gonna talk about, are women permitted to speak in the church?
Should women be silent in church, or are they allowed to speak? Now, if you're not familiar with this question and you're wondering why in the world would this even be an issue anyway, it actually comes from a passage of scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 34 through 35, which has confused many people down throughout the years, and it says this: the women are to keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak. Say what? But are to subject themselves, just as the law also says. If they desire to learn anything, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is improper for a woman to speak in church. So hold on a second, Paul. What in the world are you talking about? Well, we're going to answer that today. We're going to unpack this passage of scripture, and I'm also going to give you some biblical principles along the way that you can use whenever you come across another passage of scripture like this. Coming up. Hey, my friend, welcome back to The Beat. My name is Alan Parr. Thank you so much for tuning in. If this is your first time here, it's a pleasure. If you want a free ebook, click the link in the description box below. If you enjoy this video, consider subscribing. Hit that little bell notification so you won't miss a beat. Okay, so whenever I read certain passages of scripture like this, I call them problem passages, because whenever you read them, your first instinct is to say, what in the world does this mean? This is going to create a problem if I just read it and interpret it literally. So there has to be some other meaning behind this passage, and that's what we're going to look at in this video. So I'm going to give you the three C's of biblical interpretation. We're going to look at the context, we're going to look at the culture, and then we're going to look at some cross references, and then I'm going to finish this video by asking the question, what does this mean for us in the church today? Okay, so first let's take a look at the context. And what I mean by context is not necessarily just the verses around verses 34 and 35, but more importantly, the section of the book in which this was written. You have to understand that whenever you read the book of 1 Corinthians, this book was a letter that Paul was writing back to the church in Corinth in response to some of the questions that they had written to him previously. And we can know that if you go all the way back to chapter 12, verse 1, where Paul says, hey, I don't want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, concerning the things that are spiritual or spiritual gifts. And so in chapters 12 through 14, Paul is going to address the proper use of spiritual gifts in the church, but more broadly, how the church services need to be run so that there is no chaos and there is no confusion and there is no disorder. So now that we have a better understanding about the section of the book in which these verses are written, now we want to zoom in a little bit more and take a look at the immediate context around this verse. Now you will notice that three times in this passage of scripture, Paul uses the word or the phrase, be silent. The first time we see that is in verse 27, where it says, if anyone speaks in a tongue, it should be by two or at most three, and each in turn, and one must interpret. But if there is no interpreter, he must, here it is, keep silent in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. So from this verse, we see that there is clearly a time in church for people to be silent. Paul is not saying that if you speak in tongues that you should be silent at all times. He's saying that, hey, if there is no interpreter present and if there's more than one person trying to give a message in tongues, then at that time, in that specific situation, you need to keep silent. The second time that we see this phrase, be silent, is actually in verse 29, and it says this, let two or three prophets speak, and let the others pass judgment, but if a revelation is made to another who is seated, the first one must, here it is, keep silent, for you can all prophesy one by one, so that all may learn and all may be exhorted. So what in the world is Paul saying here? We have to understand the use of the word prophecy here is not necessarily telling the future, it's just speaking forth the word of God. So what he's saying is, if you are in church and multiple people feel like they have a word from God that they want to share, out of respect, instead of just everybody just trying to jockey for position, and you're speaking and I'm speaking and nobody can really understand, he says, out of respect, if someone else says, hey, I've got a word from the Lord, brother, you're supposed to be silent and let them give their word or that revelation so that everybody can be heard and no one is monopolizing the conversation and trying to be the star of the show. So what we learn from the context here is that Paul's primary concern is to maintain order and unity and harmony and a lack of chaos and confusion inside the church services. Okay, so now that we have a better understanding of the context in which these verses are written, let's now go back 2,000 years and look at the specific culture in which these verses are written so that hopefully we can get an idea as to whether Paul was saying, hey, this is a command I'm giving specific to this church, to the ladies in this city, in this church, in this specific context, or was Paul laying down as a rule that says all women everywhere throughout all time, no matter what, in every church, need to be silent. So one of the things that we know about the culture at this time is that women, by and large, were uneducated. They didn't have the same opportunities to get educated or to learn the Bible in the same way that the men did. And so if you go back a few verses, Paul says here that when multiple people are giving a word from God or a revelation or whatnot, others that are around need to be evaluating whether this is correct or not. And so some interpreters believe that what was happening in this church was that women were trying to chime in and give their opinion about whether they believe it was biblical or was consistent with scripture or whatever it was, whether it was from God. And because they did not have the proper education, they were creating chaos in the church because they were just chiming in and they were trying to talk over one another. Maybe they were trying to talk over other men that were in spiritual leadership at this church. And so Paul says to the women in this church, in this specific culture, that, hey, if you have a specific question about things, that you need to go home and you need to ask your husbands. Now, I want you to notice here that it assumes that the man is able to answer his wife's questions, which assumes, men, that we are in the right position spiritually to be able to lead our families. Now, the reason why we know that this particular verse is a cultural issue is because what if you're a single woman and you don't have a husband and you can't go home and ask them some questions? Do you just not get your questions answered, or do you just not ever speak up? Now, there are a whole lot of other interpretations in terms of what Paul meant here in this passage of scripture. I'm not going to take the time to go through all those, but it seems to be very clear that there was something going on in the culture, in this church. There was a problem that was causing chaos and disorder and disunity in the church that Paul needed to address specifically to the church in Corinth. And so the third thing that we want to do that will help us get a better understanding in terms of what this passage of scripture is talking about is to look at what's called cross-references. And the question we want to ask here is this: what else does the rest of the Bible have to say about this particular issue? So whenever you come across a difficult passage or a difficult issue, or you're not sure what the meaning is, always remember the principle that the Bible cannot contradict itself. The best commentary on the Bible is the Bible itself. So we want to look and say, what does the rest of the New Testament have to say about women speaking in church? Well, interestingly enough, just a few chapters earlier in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 5, Paul says this. He says, "But every woman who has her head uncovered while praying or prophesying disgraces her head, for she is one and the same as the woman whose head is shaved." So I want you to notice here that Paul is not prohibiting women from praying or prophesying, speaking in church. He's saying that whenever you do that and your head is uncovered, you are showing disrespect, because in that culture, a woman should have her head covered, which was a sign that she had a male spiritual covering over her. But the point is that Paul was not saying you can't pray if you're a woman or you can't prophesy. He's simply saying if you do, make sure that you're in order with the spiritual authority in your life and in this church. Another passage of scripture that supports the idea that women are allowed to speak in church is Acts chapter 2, verse 17, which says, "In the last days, I shall pour out my spirit upon all flesh." He says, "Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will dream dreams, and your old men will see visions." So once again, we see here that this verse is encouraging women and men to speak and to prophesy. So to wrap this up, what does this mean for us today? Well, I firmly believe that God's intent and God's desire is that there be male leadership in the church and in the home. I get that from scriptures that are very clear in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, where it clearly says that I do not permit a woman to exercise authority over a man. I believe that he's speaking specifically in the home and also in the church. Also looking at scriptures like 1 Timothy chapter 3, which talks about male leadership in the church. And then finally, scriptures like 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, which says that the head of every woman is the man. So I believe the most balanced position that we need to take on this issue is, once again, God's desire is that there be male leadership in the home and male leadership in the church. And there are too many other scriptures in the New Testament that seem to allow for women to sing or to speak or even to prophesy. So what is your perspective on this topic? Leave it in the comment section below. I'd love to hear from you. If you found this video helpful in any way, feel free to share it with a friend. Also, if you haven't done so already, I would love it if you would subscribe, check out some of the other videos on this channel. Thank you so much for watching. I'll see you next time.
All right, that was Alan Parr. And so he was answering that question, are women permitted to speak in the church? Yes, they can speak in the church, but they cannot be the primary leader in the church. That's the thing. They can speak in the church, but they must be up under ordained leadership. In other words, they must have a head. They must have a pastor. All right. That's it. Thank you so kindly for joining us. Listen to us all day long, because we're in your corner right here in the Situation Room.